Warren Buffett says these are the 10 things people waste money on. This is the Focus Group.
They're all business, except when they're not. It's the Focus Group with Tim Bennett and John Nash.
Welcome to the Focus Group. John Nash here with my good friend and co-host, Mr. Tim Bennett. FocusGroupRadio.com is our website. You can find out all about us there, including our partner on the Focus Group, and that's Deep Discount. We're very happy to have them along for the ride, and we'll be visiting with them in a little bit to share some stuff with you about them. And when you go to FocusGroupRadio.com, you'll also learn about our companion podcast, TFG Unbuttoned, which comes out on Tuesdays, audio only. So if it's in your stream of choice, then you're already getting it on your audio platform. Mr. Bennett, welcome to the week. We had the Oscars go by, and a couple other stories popped up in the DEI land, which are somewhat surprising to me. And the first one you sent my way was that John Deere, one of the first to fall to the anti-DEI crusade, their shareholders unanimously, I think it was almost unanimous, upheld the company's internal DEI policies. And you said there's a couple others that this happened with too.
Yeah, I believe over the weekend, Coca-Cola also upheld their DEI policies versus their competitor, PepsiCo, which folded. Under this Robbie Starbuck threat, who's the, I guess, the DEI police, and on the X. But yeah, I was happy to see that along with Costco and Apple and Starbucks and a few others, that some of these companies that either were afraid initially have, when their shareholders have gotten together, they had their meetings, decided that they understood it was good business. It's important to have a diverse workforce and to make sure people are comfortable at work. So I was happy to hear it. I also told you, I laughed. Philadelphia had their HRC dinner. The big dinner is usually in October for the national in D.C. But Robbie Starbuck, again, that guy was supposedly beat up on Toyota and beat up on Nissan and all these auto companies. Well, I laughed because front and center at the Philadelphia dinner was Toyota and Lexus with cars and banners and literature and so forth. So his nonsense of saying that Toyota folded or Lexus folded and they got rid of associating with the HRC or doing any DEI, I don't know. He needs to recheck his notes, I suppose, because they're still doing it. I noticed Nissan's still doing it as well. So all his nonsense about they're not going to participate, they're not doing this, they folded, they're getting rid of their DEI practices. No, they haven't, at least not from what I've seen.
But would you, if you were one of their executives and you were pinned on this one, wouldn't you say that their partnership or sponsorship has nothing to do with DEI and it's just simple marketing and advertising?
Well, you're correct. And you know, I've said that DEI is more of an internal thing. But in his press releases or whatever he sent out through X that you and I had read, talked about how they weren't going to participate in pride events and weren't going to participate in anything LGBTQ or minority related, or even veterans or women to some in some regards. So I've been checking them because I've been waiting to see, particularly in the auto category, because they do have a lot of sponsorships and partnerships with a number of organizations. So as he had made these announcements that they were backing away, I've been monitoring them, particularly Nissan and Toyota, and they've not backed away. So whatever lip service they gave to him. And I don't know why people are afraid of him. It's kind of like our Republicans. What are they afraid of Donald Trump for? I don't know. If I'm Toyota, do I really care about some guy in Tennessee it's like the AFA. Remember they were in a coffee or a linoleum table down in Mississippi.
I think the better one is a million moms. It's actually like two people at a table and a cracked linoleum floor in a kitchen that hasn't been remodeled since the 1950s, sending out letters written with crayon.
I remember years ago when I was at Subaru, there was a group. It was actually Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Push was coming around. And, you know, he was under the false pretense that it was all about giving opportunity to everybody. The reality was it was about black. And it was about having the number of African-American employees and using African-American media. Just say that. But he made it sound like it was going to be something more because he never gave us credit for the work we did with LGBTQ organizations or women's organizations or any of the LGBTQ stuff we did. It was only if we had done anything with African-American. But I remember the Japanese colleagues saying, why are we listening to a minister? about our business.
Wow. Wow.
Did why is really? A minister? Why they just couldn't understand what we were concerned about. Why are you worried about a minister, a preacher coming to you to talk about your business? That was their take on. They always pretty kind of distill it down,
and nailed it. Like so, the other company that another company we mentioned about a week ago that their shareholders unanimously voted to uphold their DEI policies was Apple.
Yeah.
And apparently the president didn't like that and started to go after Tim Cook and Apple saying, you need to reevaluate this. Da, 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 da. I just don't understand the fixation on this. It's not going to fix the price of eggs. It's not going to solve conflict around the world. It's just such a weird distraction, right? I mean, a company has a right to prospect and find the best talent, and if that means that they're looking at exclusively black colleges or they're doing internal stuff, isn't that their right to do that? I mean, are they? But yeah. Of course, it's all about this. You're shutting someone else out of a job. And I love a comment someone made on Twitter or X. They were like, they said something like, "Well, what happens when all these white people don't get the jobs they think they should have because someone else is getting them, and it's on merit alone?" Oh well, there you go. We got another problem, right?
Well, I saw a good one over the weekend that DEI stands for Don, Eric, and Ivanka. And you know, they're anchor babies because yep. Ivana had them and she was not a U.S. citizen. Mm-hmm. So they should be deported.
What's good for me, what's good for thee is not, what's that line? What's good for you is not good for me, or rules are for you, not for me. I feel like every morning I wake up and I live in hypocrisy land. The USA, or what did Rachel Maddow used to call it, Earth 2 or something like that? Like we're on different Earths.
Well, James Carville's convinced that Trump's got syphilis.
Really?
James Carville came out with that over the weekend. Big, big, big thing. He said he's gone mad.
He's gone
mad
this.
Like King George. Trump has got syphilis. He needs to be checked. We need to make sure that he's not gone mad. It's gone to his brain because they showed his hands had all these little bruises and whatever on them, which is a symptom of syphilis. I thought was brilliant. So I love James Carville anyway, but he's like, I don't know. I'm very concerned. He may have syphilis. He may be going mad, not in a disgruntled way, but mad in his mind. He's lost his mind. It's like King George.
The raging Cajun. You know, I'm glad someone is playing the game the way Trump plays it, right?
Yeah, he's got
syphilis. They say whatever they want to say and they get away with it. If somebody
Prove
else
me wrong.
Doesn't,
yeah.
beat him down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I think we got some good stuff for you on Caught Our Eye. So, Tim, what caught your eye?
What caught your eye? Here's what Tim and John found.
So I saw this through CNN and then a couple of other places, but the headline was smuggler caught trying to sneak $10,000 worth of cocaine onto a plane under his wig. So I guess he was a cokehead.
This is, by the way, if you are an audio listener normally, you might want to pop over to Focus Group Radio on YouTube and check out the video that accompanies Tim's Caught My Eye, because the pictures are worth a million words, right?
Yeah, so the one that was a 40-year-old suspect, and he was trying to board a flight from Cartagena to Amsterdam in the Netherlands last Thursday. So he stopped by the anti-narcotics police, they said, in the airport, and or the Colombian National Police. And so the one picture shows that this guy had this kind of crazy wig on his head.
Hairpiece,
and
whatever.
Hairpiece. And so they said to him, they said to the police, how did you know he had this cocaine hidden under under his hairpiece? And they said it was jiggling around a lot and they thought it was going to fall off. So they were suspicious. So they actually show this one guy. So there's two different pictures there. So the one on the far right, John, is there were 400 little bags of cocaine that they sewed into this toupee that they put on this guy's head and kind of sewed it to his head to camouflage it. And, of course, when they did test it, it was cocaine. So they show them cutting it off. So they figured out that's where he had the drugs, and they're showing him cutting the wig off. And then you see all the cocaine underneath the wig. You imagine how hot that must have been?
A, and B, I don't know how they thought they'd get away with this. I mean, it made his head look like he's crazy, right?
Well, they have one picture of him standing, and they don't even say his name. It just says Cocaina, and he's behind a table, and they're doing his mugshot there. So I laughed about it because I thought, you know, the nerve, A, that you thought you were going to get on a plane and fly this, get through security and then fly from Colombia to Amsterdam with this cocaine wake. So I looked and somebody had said, this reminds me of, and that's what the one is on the left. They said, this reminds me of a couple of years ago, a man in Barcelona was involved in the same thing. So the guy on the left, where it looks like a nest sitting on his head.
Literally, someone put a bird's nest on his head. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. He had $34,000 worth of cocaine stuck in an oversized wig, and he was going from Barcelona to Bogota. Now, why you have to bring cocaine into Colombia, I don't know. So,
I know, paradox, right?
I thought so. So he ends up, or maybe I did it, maybe I got it wrong. He was flying from, that man was arrested after drugs were found underneath his hairpiece, according to Spain's national police. The Colombian national had hidden half a gram of cocaine worth $34,000 under his wig. They said he was nervous as he passed through security after flying in from Bogota.
No, okay, right.
So he came in from Colombia. So he got through Colombia. He got on the airplane with that wig on his head. If you see it, you just laugh.
You wonder how their security was like, oh, I love your haircut.
Yeah, you get B-52s a run for their money. So so he was arrested, and he was part of a 12-person cocaine ring that was bringing drugs into Europe. But I laughed about that one, too, because I thought, and then when they took the wig off, you see him standing there with the thing sitting on his head. It looks like an egg. Somebody in the comments said, if they took the blindfold off, maybe he would have saw how ridiculous he looked.
Yeah. And I love the headline you gave this one. Drug head gets caught.
Yeah.
Drug head gets caught. I mean, come on. Brilliant one, Tim.
I just don't know how anybody would have thought that you would get, like, if you put that on to any of them, right? If you put either of those two things on, it's cartoonish. How you thought you weren't going to get caught. But I don't know. So.
You know, it's never, folks, it's never a smart idea to travel with illegal substances, period, end of report. It's just not worth it. Unless, of course, you have some inventive idea. I guess since I'm bald, I could figure out something with my hair. Right?
Well, you know, it was almost so bad you had to let him go. I mean, if I were the police, I'd be like, the fact that you had the nerve to even try this, I got to let you go.
You deserve a pass because you gave it a really good shot.
So what caught
caught my eye is something that's really short and really simple, and it involves you know how sometimes when you're at the beach, a plane will pass over with an advertising banner in the back? Okay. This happened in Los Angeles, and beachgoers were stunned by this eye-popping banner. So what I did is the article never tells you what the banner says. They only put a picture in the article and they talk about how people are pissed off about can we have a day at the beach without advertising? The banner said vitamins for your vagina now at Target. I'm not sure what the brand was, but there's some brand and it just says, you know, and it's a big red banner about vitamins for your vagina. And then there's a little banner that hangs off the back now at Target. So let me see what it says here. Flying over the sandy shores of Los Angeles, a banner caught the attention and dismay of beachgoers. So someone has shared a post. They put the picture up, and they didn't. But nowhere in the article does it ever say that they were vitamins for someone's vagina. The image showcases the bold, eye-catching banner soaring above the ocean. Many commenters weighed in with reactions ranging from surprise to disapproval. It definitely got everyone's attention. The incident underscores the growing trend of advertising permeating natural and recreational spaces. I read that line myself, and I thought, the growing trend? It's been here for decades. It's not a growing trend. So that's basically it. This is what caught my eye. I see this article about a banner. I read the article. It says nothing about what the banner says, except that it was shocking and people were just... And then I blow it up and it's vitamins for your vagina, now at Target.
That's my favorite part, now at Target.
If Target didn't have enough trouble, right?
I was going to say, can you get it at Walgreens? Can you get it at CVS?
No, apparently you got to get vitamins for your vagina at now at Target. I mean, could you imagine what else would be funnier if it didn't say Target? What else would be funnier? Like, now at Whole Foods? No.
No. Now at Chick-fil-A. I don't know. But now at Target's funny. I just think that's even the takeaway. It just, vitamins for your vagina.
It just heaps on problems to a corporate PR department. And again, It's a banner flying over a beach in LA. How long could that banner have flown for? Maybe 2-3 minutes it goes by. You know how those prop planes go by with the banner? You have it down at Rehoboth, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they had to stop it during the Biden administration when he was president. They didn't allow them. So we're starting up again this summer. It's a clinkety old plane. I get scared when I see them because it's like,
you think it's going to come down?
It's like a lawnmower that's, you know, 50 feet off the ground. But I actually looked when I was running for office, I looked about doing a banner on the beach. But of course, I'd be advertising to nobody because none of the locals would be on the beach. But
you could put Spikey on the banner.
Yeah, I thought maybe we should do a banner this summer. We could fly from South Jersey down all the way to Ocean City, Maryland. So we could do the Jersey along Delaware down to Maryland, do the focus group.
I wonder how much the focus group banner.
Oh, it's not a lot. It's not a lot. And they show where they take off from. And it's quite a business. It's an old family-run business forever. And these old planes.
How many times do you think they go up in the air? How many banners do you think they
run? A package. You pick a package. You know, and it... they're not as expensive as you think. Yeah, they're not as expensive as you think. You know, hundreds, not thousands. A couple hundred. And I think they're hilarious still.
I'm intrigued beyond belief that we could actually have a banner flying over Rehoboth Beach for some part of the day on a Saturday in the summertime.
Well, it's so close to South Jersey, right? So if you drove it, it would be 4 hours. But by plane, it's 17 miles because of that's all it is, 17 miles from Rehoboth to like Cape May, which is the southern end of Jersey.
There's a ferry that goes from Cape May.
Ferry goes, yeah. It takes about 90 minutes. And so the planes take off from South Jersey Airfield, and depending upon how big a swath you want, but it takes them no time to go from, say, Asbury Park all the way down to Ocean City, Maryland. And
so, all right, vitamins for your vagina now at Target to tune into the focus group.
Yeah, it might be worth a shot.
Could you imagine the nightly news? A plane carrying a banner for some podcast called The Focus Group crashed on Rehoboth Beach. You can see how that goes.
Well, all right, folks. Publicity is good, Rod.
As many of you know, Deep Discount is a partner of ours here on The Focus Group, and we would like you to visit their site by going to ourfocusgroupradio.com and clicking on the Deep Discount logo. You're going to go down a rabbit hole. I always do, too. And I say that in a positive way because you're going to find things that you didn't think you needed or know. You thought, oh, I saw that movie years ago. Buy it. Get it on actual media. You'll thank us in the end. This week, they are running, actually for the whole month, it's a site-wide spring sale. Everything's on sale. Everything's always on sale at Deep Discount. And if you shop right, you could also get extra like free shipping and things like that. The more you buy, the more you save. So, Tim, what did you pick?
So, everyone knows who listens to our show that I'm I Love Lucy and you're Star Trek, right? I mean, it's kind of our shtick. But, and I've recommended I Love Lucy stuff before, but this one particularly caught my eye. Plus, I was shocked and I'd never heard of this before. So, the title of it is I Love Lucy, the movie and other great rarities. So, what this is, I never knew there was an I Love Lucy movie. Did you?
Nope.
It came out in 2010, so April of 2010. What somebody did is they took three of the classic first season episodes of I Love Lucy, so The Benefit, Breaking the Lease, and The Ballet, and they edited them together to create a movie. And
This is
I Love Lucy. So they took three episodes from the first season. They did some newly filmed connecting scenes. I don't know how they could have, but they took some new, they said they filmed some new scenes and connected it to make it a never before seen feature length film. So it's 81 minutes long. Again, three episodes, The Benefit, Breaking the Lease, and The Ballet, if you're familiar with Lucy's first season, and made it into one feature length film. And it's only $8.08. And, so I'm curious.
Tim, the picture you showed here from the Deep Discount site is a color image, but was Lucy filmed in black and white or color?
It was filmed in black and white, and there's actually, during the sale, it's funny you say this, because there is a whole set of I Love Lucy
colorized
shows of the 30s.
Yeah.
Right, and there's maybe 15 or 20 of them. I didn't realize there were that many, but it's on back order. So
interesting.
So
I
didn't recommend it. I want to see when it becomes available. I'll alert everybody. But we've seen The Christmas Show or a couple others. But Superman. There are a few others that they did that they've done in color.
Oh, right. And, that's right. When they had the original George Reeves on was the original Superman.
And so I still, though, prefer, it's black kind of white. Like the Munsters are. Somebody showed a picture the other day of the Addams Family that somebody colorized the interior of the Addams Family's house. It's not the same. Same with the Munsters. It's not the same. Something about the black and white that's just what it is. And
And it's what we grew up with. Yeah. So you'll be surprised. I went in a totally different direction with Sitewide Sale, which I love when Deep Discount does this. I went to the documentary section, and lo and behold, I found a movie I've never heard of before. It's called Le Beau Mec, which actually means the handsome boy, I think, in French. And this is a documentary. It's a hard-bodied and handsome hustler. Carl Forrest was prominent to the point of iconic in France's gay culture of the 70s, and his all-but-forgotten heyday can be relived in this uncovered documentary portrait for filmmaker Wallace Potts. Combining striptease footage from Forrest's stage review with interview segments and reenactment of his life in school, in the military, and on the streets, perspectives into a culturally different window in time are offered. 70 minutes, so it's a little, hour and 10 minutes.
Perfect.
I read a review of this, and they were gracious to say that it is a time capsule movie. Like, you know, this gay man in the 70s in France, adored by a lot of people, worth watching. And then they said, you know, but if you're looking for a plot and a story, you might not want to be watching this, but you're going to enjoy the movie anyway. So Le Beau Mec, it's on sale for $19.34. It is a restored print. A while ago, someone actually brought it up to 4K level, so it should look good. But I thought it was just a fascinating thing because I've never heard of this before. And you know me, I'm like a go-go boy. And if he was doing that, I'll
get you $2 bills.
We do have a new release this week, and it's a good one. It's Gladiator 2. If you love the first one, you've really got to see the second one. From legendary director Ridley Scott, as we know, he did the first one. Gladiator 2 continues the epic saga of power, intrigue, and vengeance set in ancient Rome and specifically the Colosseum. Years after witnessing the death of the revered hero Maximus at the hands of his uncle, Lucius, who's played by Paul Mescal, Lucius was in the first one, the young boy, is forced to enter the Colosseum after his home is conquered by the tyrannical emperors who now lead Rome with an iron fist. So picks up the story from the perspective of the little boy who actually liked Maximus. Heard great things. I'm interested. It's a 4K Ultra HD, $29.95. I think it comes with a Blu-ray disc. So it's 4K, Blu-ray, and the digital copy, so not bad at all.
Wow. So head over to focusgroupradio.com. Click on the Deep Discount logo to own your passion. There's a site-wide spring sale going on now, as Mr. Nash says. And I picked I Love Lucy, the movie, something I never heard of. And John picked a French documentary, Le Beau Mec. Is that how you say
correct.
It?
Correct, yeah.
Le Beau Mec. And the new release this week is Gladiator 2. So again, be sure to head over to focusgroupradio.com, click on the Deep Discount logo, start shopping away, and we appreciate your support of them and their support of us. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a business birthday, and we have a shop talk from Warren Buffett. We're also going to introduce you to a new partner we have here on the show, so stay tuned.
You're listening to The Focus Group with Tim and John. Learn more at focusgroupradio.com. Now back to The Focus Group with Tim and John. Available pretty much everywhere.
Welcome back to The Focus Group. John Nash with Tim Bennett. Focusgroupradio.com is the URL for our website. You can find out all about us there, including our partner Deep Discount we just visited with. And you'll learn about our Tuesday podcast, the companion to The Focus Group, TFG Unbuttoned. Now, we always promise this. We're the only show that does it. So let's get the business birthday rolling.
Everyone does celebrity birthday greetings. But the Focus Group is the only show in the universe that celebrates business birthdays.
If I were Japanese, I'd want this name. Momofuku Ando, which I love. Born March 5th, 1910.
Okay, so, wait, let me. Momofuku Ando.
It's literally Momofuku. Fuku.
Momofuku Ando. It's pronounced the way it's spelled, right?
Momofuku Ando. Momofuku Ando. Momofuku Ando. The Japanese don't do, what's the word I'm looking for? when we say something like we say
and we accent
Haven,
it or we
accents. Yeah, they usually it's straight through. It's like we say Subaru in the United States, but the Japanese say Subaru.
Subaru.
See, it's, okay. It's just there's no inflection up or down. We do an accent or a. I'm forgetting the word. Anyway.
Momofuku.
Momofuku.
Momofuku Ando. Okay.
Yeah, Fuku. Don't say oh, Fuku. I don't know if it's an O, it's something else. But anyway, he was born March 5th, 1910, died January 5th at 96 in 2007. He was born in Japanese-controlled Taiwan. He had a Japanese name, Gopek Hook. But we're not going to, he's going by Momofuku Ando. You know him, John. You can thank him. He was the founder of Nissin Food Products Limited, but you know it better as the inventor of the brands of Top Ramen and Cup of Noodles.
Savior. This is a college staple, right?
He was a savior. So he was born to a wealthy family in Taiwan, and the family had, after the war, had gone to Japan. And he was working in... working in the textile business, and he got in trouble. This was interesting. He was convicted of tax evasion in 1948 and served 2 years in jail. And some weird Japanese law, they said he lost the company due to bankruptcy at that point, this textile company. And what they considered tax evasion was the fact that he had given and awarded scholarships for kids to go to college. And they said that that was considered tax evasion because that was a way to hide money.
Really?
An odd way to look
at it. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, they said Ando had provided scholarships for students, which at the time was a form of tax evasion in Japan. So he lost his company.
So, over a scholarship?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, countries have their laws, right?
Yeah.
So he was, he started up another business, which was a small family-run company, which was producing salt. And after World War II, the Japanese people in the country had a food shortage post-war. And the Ministry of Health was trying to encourage people to eat bread made from wheat flour because they can get that from the United States. And Ando wondered why bread instead of noodles. And the Japanese ministry's response was that noodle companies were too small and unstable to satisfy supply needs. So he decided, well, you know what? I'm going to start a production of noodles. I'm going to start a noodle company. And so that's what he did. So on August 25th, 1958, at the age of 48, after many months of trial and error, he experimented with what he said was the perfect flash frying method and marketed his first package of pre-cooked instant noodles. The original flavor was chicken. It was chicken ramen. It was considered a luxury item, cost 10 cents.
Wow.
At the time.
Wow. A luxury item at 10 cents. Okay.
Right. In 1958, because udon and soba noodles were a lot less expensive, a couple of pennies. So right now, chicken ramen is still sold in Japan. It retails for about $1.12 US, and which is one third the price of what it was when it started if you did all the exchanges. They said after the invention of cup of noodles in 71 at the age of 61, he was trying to figure out how to spark popularity of instant noodles overseas, and he observed that American college students and Americans were eating noodles by breaking them in half and putting them into paper cups and pouring hot water over the noodles. He said they were also eating them with a fork instead of chopsticks. So his idea was, he said, if I developed a styrofoam cup, which was more narrow on the bottom, it would be the ideal vessel for holding the noodles, also keep them warm, and it would make it easier to eat and open, and the hot water would stay warmer in styrofoam. So this simplicity is what went on to transform him into a multi-billionaire with a cup of noodles and Nissin's fortunes. So that's how it started. He died of heart failure in January 5th, 2007. He's been given all kinds of awards, revered in Japan for inventing ramen and instant noodles.
So did he ever, did this scholarship issue pop up late in life? That's when he lost the company?
So it was, let me go back here. So he was convicted of tax evasion in 1948.
Oh, okay.
So he was born in 1910. So he was 30, 38 years old.
So somehow, whatever.
Textile business. It was very successful.
That's what he lost. And this was the second act.
And then he started a salt company.
Okay.
And then that's when he said the Japanese ministry after the war was trying to encourage people to eat bread because they can get flour and wheat from the United States. And he was like, well, why not noodles? You know, that's what we eat. We don't eat bread.
Yeah.
Noodles. And then the Japanese ministry and the government said, we don't have strong enough companies or stable enough companies or capacity to make so much noodles for the population.
After the war. Yeah.
After the war. And that's how he came up with inventing the top ramen and cup of noodles.
I think
he ate it every day, they said. That's the other thing I think was funny. They said he claimed the secret to his long life was playing golf, eating chicken ramen every day. And they said he did eat it every day until he died. He ate ramen.
Chicken, he had a cup of noodles. Do you think it was a cup of noodles every day?
Sure. They show me now. Yeah.
I just love something like this. And I love the fact that he are indeed American college students. We were the prime target. My God, I used to buy this stuff. We used to have at least three or four of these sitting in the dorm room at any given time because all you needed was a hot pot, right?
Yeah, and you just pour the hot water over it. Yeah. I always found it to be a little salty.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, it's a great, I've seen people now, they talk about go to Aldi and get wontons or whatever and make your own kind of wonton ramen soup. And
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a cheap meal and it's good. Or it's sustainable.
It's sustain. Yeah. And I guess it's nutritious, I would say, right?
Well, he lived to 97, right? Is that how old he was?
Yeah,
he lived to 97. So yeah, it's nutritious.
Well, it said 96 that he was. Yeah,
96. Yeah, yeah. Well, close.
96 is not a bad age. I mean, I just saw an obituary recently where maybe it was on CBS Sunday Morning. Someone lived to 113.
Wow,
113. I don't know if I would. I be bike riding at 100.
Well, you want to. I know you. You'd want to.
Well,
I have two friends that are convinced they're going to live to 120, 130. They're
really?
On these crazy. Oh yeah, they're on these crazy. You know, they say that key to longevity is not to eat. Leave the table
Correct.
Hungry.
Yeah,
you know, leave the table hungry, and you're going to live forever. But they're convinced that they're going to. They won't eat pizza now. They won't eat anything except with this approved diet, and they're both going to live to 130, 150. I said, well, have fun because I don't know anyone's going. You're going to know anybody.
By the time
I hope your money lasts.
By the time they make it, they're going to be Hey, as Tim mentioned at the before the break, we want to welcome a new partner of ours to the show, and that would be Mando, M-A-N-D-O. Mando is a company that produces a whole bunch of interesting products for total body odor control. I've been using it for about a month now. I've used the deodorant stick and the deodorant cream, and I've been really pleased and amazed by this. So it's freshness from head to toe. And as I said, it's whole body. And here on the focus group, when we welcome a product or a new partner of ours here, we want to make it fit with us. So we always talk about the four P's of marketing, right? And the four P's are product, price, placement, promotion. And so Tim had a fun idea. He said, why don't we do the a twist on this and do the four P, the Mando four P's. So what would those be, Mr. Bennett?
So the four P's are freshness. And so the first one, would be protection. And as you mentioned, it's not just for your armpits. It's good from head to toe. I like to say, John, my feet don't stink. And I know some people do have smelly feet. I've been blessed with that. But, you know, as you travel, and particularly we talked about Japan earlier in our business birthday, take your shoes off when you go in somebody's house or when you're having dinner. So what is it, better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it? But but Mando offers 72-hour protection. And so some of us that have long days or you're traveling somewhere, you're stuck, you'd be appreciative of the 72-hour protection.
And that brings us to P number two. I don't know if that sounds good or not, but of the four P's, the second P, and that would be protection. Placement. Mando is clinically proven to work wherever you need it. And so it's underarms. We call it the Southern Hemisphere, which would, you know, be the groin area and the belly button too. A lot of people have some belly button issues, I suppose. Thigh folds, Tim mentioned feet. And of course, you know, anywhere where you have sweat or odor issues, I've been using the cream deodorant and the stick deodorant, and there's these deodorant wipes, which are great if you have a strength workout, but you don't really sweat a lot. You don't really feel like taking a shower. It's dead of winter. You don't want to dry out your skin. The wipes are fantastic for that.
Right. And we recommend the starter pack, which we'll give you the offer in a bit. But what I like about the starter pack, it also allows you to pick scents. So even though it's our third P, we'll call it perfume for smells or scents, but you get to pick a scent. And my favorite is the Mount Fuji. It's a eucalyptus and a mint, which reminds me of something you'd find in, right, but something you'd find in Sonoma, you know, kind of in the woods and the glade of eucalyptus and mint. But there's other scents such as clover, which I really was intrigued by. Clover woods, I want to try that one, and also a bourbon leather. And for those of you who don't like scents, it's also available unscented. But I'm a scent guy, so I'm all for the.
You should qualify that. You're a scent guy, but you like light, fresh scents. You don't.
Yeah,
like
I'm not. I don't want to overpower, but yeah.
So when Tim says he likes the scent, you trust me. He has a good nose for this. And this leads us to the last P of our Mando's four P's: price. And since you're a listener of the Focus Group, we've got a great deal for you. Tim mentioned the starter pack. I have it up on screen if you happen to be watching the video. It includes a solid stick deodorant, the cream deodorant I mentioned, which I've been using. And you get to select two free products with that. They have a mini body wash or these deodorant wipes, which I've used as well, which I like. And you get free shipping. So if you use the code FOCUS and you're at shopmando.com, that's shopmando.com, you get $5 off. Plus your free shipping, and that's a 40% discount on their starter pack. You know, we love investigating new men's grooming products. I know everybody's kind of stubborn to move off what they're using. Give Mando a shot. I think you'll be surprised.
Well, what's great about it too is the and when you talk about price and the offer is during the pandemic, for whatever reason, men's grooming products kind of went through the roof. And so this is a great value at shopmando.com. As we said, we recommend the starter pack. Use the code FOCUS at checkout and you get $5 off plus free shipping. And when you add it all up for what you get, it's a great deal. And again, it's use the code FOCUS. And you can share it with friends too if you want.
Please do.
to let them know it's freshness for your whole package, pits, packages, and feet. Or, John, I was thinking of another four piece. I wonder if we could do pits, privates, packages, and paws.
Pause for hands and feet or just feet?
Yeah, well, I need a pee. I mean, I guess we could say PAs, which is Spanish for feet. But anyway, so again, thanks for those of you who are going to go out and support Mando. We love having them joining us here. And again, go to shopmando.com and use the checkout code FOCUS for $5 off and free shipping.
Excellent. All right. We want to thank them. So as we talked, as I teased at the very beginning of today's podcast, Warren Buffett has the actual headline says 10 things poor people waste money on. I more broadly think it's for the things that people tend to waste money on, period. I don't know that you have to be rich or poor for this, because when you hear the list, you're going to probably say, yeah, it is a waste of money. It doesn't matter what income bracket you're in. Tim found the article. I love it. And he starts off by talking about something called low value investments. This was interesting because basically this is a theory of mine too. He said, if you're investing in something other than yourself right now, it might be time to rethink your strategy. So if you have a choice between maybe taking a class, improving a skill, or putting money into something that may not be involved in your personal improvement per se, but you know a little bit about it, I think Warren Buffett would advise you to make the best investment you can make was making an investment in yourself.
Yeah, what I was shocked about that one was he said that he spends 80% of his day reading.
Yeah, 500 pages a day.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
I mean, 500 pages is a lot. Do you think you read that much a day? And you read a lot.
I am not sure. You bring up a great point. I thought about it when I read the article. I thought, how much do I actually read? I mean, I read a lot of news articles, a lot of financial stuff. We prep for the show, and then there's some pleasurable reading as well. But I'm not sure that it would come to that much time or that many pages.
Yeah, I thought that was, and then he said, go to bed smarter each day. I'm not sure I do. I don't know. You go to bed smarter each day.
Well, there you go, right.
Yeah. Number two was credit card debt. This is an old one. Everybody knows this. Try not to maintain or have a credit card debt if you don't need to. Sometimes for people, you just can't avoid it. If you had a tragic emergency or you needed to get something fixed at the house or your car breaks down, you need to use a credit card to fix something or to keep your life going. Sometimes you do have to carry a balance, but he suggests not doing that because, of course, the interest rates are so high on credit cards. He says he pays cash 98% of the time. I don't. Yeah. I used to pay cash a lot. My mom still does, but that's a lot. It's I think it's funny now to see anybody use cash almost.
I used to always use my debit card or cash, and I've changed that behavior to one credit card that I pay off fully every month. Yep. And that was in the comments section below this article. A number of people commented on that, on how it could be very useful to get points or to get benefits or rebates. So I think you have to just understand what debt is good and what debt is bad. A mortgage is okay. A car loan is okay. Consumer credit is not great. You don't want to carry balances there.
Right.
And then this is he said quantity over quality. And this is a bit of a misnomer because actually he's in favor of quality over quantity. When you prioritize quantity, getting more for less or something, you might not be getting the best deal. So he says the short-term gains may not mean much, but in the long run, if you buy quality, and he think this is one of those interesting things where he might be talking about a company or a stock price. But in general, if you buy a really well-made garment, that may be better than buying three things from a cheaper store, like that toss-away fashion, whatever they call that, fast fashion. Right. I'm in favor of quantity over quality, personally, so I think it's a great piece of advice.
Right. We're going through Warren Buffett's 10 things people waste money on. Number four is unnecessary spending. This was how I was raised with my parents, and they made a comment here that Warren Buffett used a $20 flip phone for several years before ever upgrading to an iPhone. But his advice is don't spend money on unnecessary items such as maybe designer labels or latest technology. Okay.
Yeah. His next one is new cars. We've talked about the car issue. I think we actually mentioned it last week on the show about how you can tell what's someone's socioeconomic status is or how they may be parked at a certain level based on what they're driving. This is a toss-up. Used cars are great. If you don't get a lemon, you're screwed. I'm in favor of inexpensive leases because if you know you're going to have a car payment all the time, after 3 years, you ditch it, someone else's problem. You're a brand new vehicle and you're not dealing with all those maintenance issues. So if you're not driving a lot, maybe a used car makes sense, but look at the car with a more critical eye. That's the best way I would put his.
Yeah, and that was the key point here, as you mentioned, was he says he drove less than 4,000 miles a year. So that's a very different thing than somebody who needs it or drives it all the time. This one I laughed at. Full price purchases. They said even Warren Buffett looks for good deals. And there's a story that was retold in Bill Gates' biography. Says that he and Buffett once went to lunch, and they went to a fast food restaurant, and Buffett actually pulled out coupons to pay for their lunch, and even Bill Gates from Microsoft thought this was, quite the thing, and they joked about him being a big spender. But can you imagine they go to McDonald's and he's pulling out
McDonald's coupons?
Like, the guy's a what? How many billionaire? Right?
Berkshire Hathaway. He's a very Warren Buffett's Warren Buffett. So he's paying for a happy meal with a coupon. Yeah.
Do you think he's happy?
I do. I do. I think he's very happy.
But I don't know. I'll have a comment later. Okay.
And then he has your regular nights out. Buffett has a very simple diet and doesn't like to go out much. In Buffett's biography, The Snowball, he's quoted as saying, "I like eating the same thing over and over and over again. I could eat a ham sandwich every day for 50 days in a row for breakfast." I think Bob and I don't go out too often these days because it's very expensive. I think I'm not saying anything surprising to anybody who's gone out, even buying lunch these days. It used to be under 10. Now it's 15. It could be 20. So we go out, but we do it, strategically. That's the way I would say.
Number 8, wasted opportunities. This is essentially the talks about how Buffett, even growing up, always had a side hustle. So even doing his regular job, he would make money by delivering newspapers or selling used golf balls, cleaning cars, doing any sort of odd jobs to help make some additional dollars. Again, that was very much my dad. My dad always had some side hustle going on Saturdays. He regretted it. He thought, my mom told me later on in life, he kind of regretted it because he thought maybe he didn't spend enough time with my brother and I. But he would always carve out early in the morning from Saturday to, say, lunchtime. He would do
odd job stuff.
A lot of tree work, yeah, and stuff for
additional dollars. Oh, that's right. Your dad did the tree work, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a bad one. And next one here for Warren Buffett is gambling. He said, I'm not a prude about it, but to quite an extent, gambling is a tax on ignorance. A government shouldn't make it easy for people to take their Social Security checks and waste them pulling a handle. If you have extra money, don't waste it on gambling. I don't know if there's anything else to say about this. When you fly into Las Vegas and you look out the window, and you think you're going to get rid of all your debts at the table, just look at the scale of the city and you know that that wasn't built by people winning. It's by people losing.
Yep. And then the final one is living beyond your means. So he questions that if you're shopping and you see something you like, you should ask yourself whether you really want it. You've talked about that a number of times.
24-hour rule, wait for a day.
He also says that we should not confuse the cost of living with our standard of living.
Good point. Yeah.
And I thought about this whole thing with Warren Buffett. I thought about the coupons, the car. You know, he's famous for not, he still lives in the house he's lived in for what, 30, 40 years something?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And it's not frivolous, but he's a multi-billionaire.
Billionaire.
And I always wonder about this to say if maybe it's because we're not billionaires, because we're not doing a lot of this. But if I had that much money and I was his age, I'm not so sure I'd still be worried about coupons. Would you? Unless it's just he likes to do it.
I think that's who he is. Honestly, yeah. I've seen him interviewed. I find him enjoyable to watch. I think he's a smart guy. I think he sees money as a utility. I'm pretty sure of that. He doesn't place himself in some kind of weird stratosphere because of how much he has. And I just think he has this kind of a mindset about money and acquiring it and spending it that it's,
bought a bigger house, or not necessarily bigger, but maybe a more,
I think about this
house
all the time. If I had that kind of money, I don't know if I would live any differently, with the exception of I wouldn't sweat so many details. I wouldn't sweat going out to dinner, right? I wouldn't do it all the time because I enjoy cooking and it's better for you from a health point of view. I wouldn't worry about a car lease per se. I don't know if I'd live in a bigger house, because that just means it needs to be cleaned and maintained and taken care of, you know.
No, but if you said, like, there's certain things probably in your house that you wish you had. There's certain things in my house that I wish I had. So I'd build an addition, or I would build a house that maybe has a garage or a storage area or a swimming pool or something that you might enjoy. You're a multi-billionaire. Get the pool. You're going to be dead a long time. I always find that about him that's a little bit quirky, but as you said,
you know what I know you would do that I would do too. Like, Bob and I are dying to go to Egypt. We'd love to go to Egypt. And if I had the kind of money, you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
I'd book a first class trip all the way. We're talking flights, a small group, or a private tour guide. You know, I'd make it a really exceptional trip and I wouldn't worry about the cost. And I would do that for multiple locations. But
I'd have a plane on call. Now, he's telling people to put their money under the mattress now.
Is he really?
That seems to be his latest thing. It's funny you say that. Friends of ours here, Pat and her family, just got back from Africa and they flew Qatar, airlines. And there were 12 of them, and each one of them had their own private suite.
Pod.
Plane.
Yeah, the pods. Yeah.
Flying first class. I'm like, well, that's the way to go.
Isn't that amazing? So
they went from Dulles to Dubai and then from Dubai over to Kenya. But I laughed and I said, you know, if I was flying that way, I'd be excited too. I said, but I can't imagine, you know, that is your saying, right? If you had that kind of
I wouldn't even give it a resources, thought. I would fly that way because I arrived fresh.
You have a shower. You take a shower to the whole deal. Yeah. So,
good list for Mr. Buffett there.
Yep. So, hey, thanks for joining us here on the Focus Group. Please like and follow us and or subscribe or whatever the buttons are that you click when you find us on any of your platforms of choice. Learn all about us at focusgroupradio.com. We want to thank our friends at Deep Discount. They're having a site-wide spring sale going on right now, as we mentioned. I picked I Love Lucy, the movie, which is something we've never heard of, which has come out. Which
news
we have to investigate. John picked a documentary, Le Beau Mec, and the new release this week is Gladiator 2. Also, thanks to our friends at Mando that have joined us here, particularly for the month of March. And so rewind and go back and listen to that bit. And so everyone have a great week. We'll see you next time here on the Focus Group. And remember, don't text and drive, arrive alive. Take care.
It's the Focus Group with Tim Bennett and John Nash. Accessible on all platforms. Subscribe, like, and rate us on your platform of choice. Learn more at focusgroupradio.com.
That was a stunning focus group.